Are we looking at another player in the blindness internet radio space, or simply a placeholder website? The domain names www.nfbradio.org, www.nfbradio.com and www.nfbradio.net have been registered and point to a page advising that the website is under construction. An examination of internet records show that the domains were registered on the 10th of April of this year by Albert Cook with a Lock Raven, Maryland PO Box number. Since the American Council of the Blind began ACB Radio in 1999, there has been speculation as to whether the National Federation of the Blind may also enter the internet radio space, as internet radio continues to raise the council's profile worldwide. And ACB Radio Interactive celebrates its second birthday on September the 2nd. The station, which now features broadcasters in 8 countries and operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, hit the internet airwaves 2 years ago with a 53-hour programming cycle. To celebrate 2 years of broadcasting, and in particular a year of remarkable growth, there will be a 2-hour broadcast at 0 hours UTC on Tuesday the 2nd of September, that's Monday evening at 8 Eastern and 5 Pacific in the United States. A birthday marathon will then follow, with many broadcasters hosting hour-long birthday programs. Real Networks has released a new version of its Internet Media Player software that lets users burn music onto compact discs, watch digital videos, and play most audio and video even if it's in a competitor's format. And the good news is, it's the long-awaited accessible version promised on this program by a Real Networks representative some months ago. The software uses Microsoft's Active Accessibility, and while it does still behave a little strangely with some screen readers, it is easy to install and use. The company has also announced its fourth major subscription service for consumers, Radio Pass, which offers access to thousands of internet radio stations for a monthly fee. The company's subscription service, which provides about 25% of its revenue, has been a bright spot as other parts of its business have sagged with the soft economy. Real Networks' latest version of Real One Player software builds on the company's Helix initiative, which was announced in July. At that time, Real Networks announced new technology that allowed companies or others wanting to broadcast programs over the internet to send it in a single format and still reach most computer users, even if users rely on audio and video software from competitors such as Microsoft and Apple Computer. Tuesday's announcement concerned the computer user. Now, on their end, they can use a single program, Real One Player, to view almost any broadcaster's program, regardless of the technology format the broadcaster chooses. This universal media player feature is only available to those who subscribe to either the new Radio Pass subscription or Real Networks Super Pass service, which offers news, entertainment, and other exclusive content service for $9.95 a month. Real Networks also offers a free version of the new Real One Player that excludes the feature. The announcement comes as crosstown rival Microsoft prepares to launch the latest version of its new Windows Media Player, which will happen in early September. The Redmond software empire has steadily gained market share, offering a free product that comes with its dominant Windows operating system software and made significant improvements over the years to its media playing software, analysts said. Fed up with unwanted ads for phone accessories, credit services, and stock tips on his fax machine, a Silicon Valley executive sued a company that sends bulk faxes on Thursday, demanding an attention-getting $2.2 trillion in damages. Yep, that's about $100 billion more than this year's total U.S. federal budget. It may seem mildly inflated, but technology entrepreneur Steve Kirch believes that's the total amount consumers should get if the proper penalty is assessed for each and every junk fax and the damages are tripled as federal law allows. The suit seeks class action status. Kirsch decided to pursue a class action against junk faxes last autumn after he got a torrent of ads with no phone number he could call to get his fax number removed. An unwanted fax wastes 10 cents, he estimates, if you factor in costs of paper, ink, wear and tear on the fax machine, and the time lost in sorting through all the incoming faxes. Kirch filed the suit simultaneously in Santa Clara County Superior Court and the U.S. District Court in San Francisco. Both suits target Fax.com, a company that sends bulk fax advertisements from as many as 10,000 companies. The state suit also names Cox Business Services, a subsidiary of Atlanta-based Cox Communications Incorporated, because Fax.com uses network equipment it bought from Cox. Fax.com CEO Kevin Katz characterized the allegations as unfounded and absurd. He said anyone who doesn't want to receive an advertisement need only call a toll-free number included on every fax in accordance with California law. The lawsuit, Katz added, is being used to intimidate Fax.com's customers. Kirsch's lawsuits are by no means the first attacks on bulk fax advertisers who have millions of fax numbers on file and have been known to ring recipients at all hours of the day. In 1991, Congress passed the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, which restricted telemarketers' activities, but also lets junk fax recipients sue their senders for up to $1,500 per fax. To qualify as illegal, a fax must be unsolicited and advertise some product or service for sale. Earlier this month, the Federal Communications Commission proposed a $5.38 million fine against Fax.com, the largest the Commission has ever levied for violations of the Act. The FCC claims Fax.com engaged in a pattern of deception to conceal its involvement in sending the prohibited faxes, and that the company has not been forthcoming in its dealings with the agency. The law has had mixed results in court. In some cases, courts have awarded damages to junk fax recipients. A federal judge in Texas last August ordered American Blast Fax Incorporated to pay the state nearly $500,000 for sending unsolicited faxes. The Texas Attorney General's office, which brought that case, had itself received more than 200 unsolicited fax ads from the company. But in a lawsuit in Missouri against Fax.com, a federal judge ruled in March that unsolicited fax ads amount to constitutionally protected free speech. Almost two-thirds of B2B marketers and more than one-half of B2C marketers claim that they plan to increase their use of email newsletter sponsorship in the next year. A majority of marketers claim that any negative impact from their marketing efforts have so far been minimal. Over 60% of marketers reported that they've observed little or no change during the last 12 months in internet users' willingness to join their opt-in lists, while less than 10% reported a decline for their house lists over the same time period. 59% of B2C marketers identified direct sales as an important objective for their email marketing efforts, while 56% mentioned customer relations. Among B2B marketers, 65% said that generating sales leads was the most important objective, while 63% said they use email marketing to educate sales prospects. The survey also indicated that consumer marketers are twice as likely to mail to their house lists daily than B2B marketers. According to an unreleased draft plan prepared by the Bush administration, the president favors creating a centralized source for collecting and reviewing email and data relating to cybersecurity. The new organization would collect threat data from the FBI's National Infrastructure Protection Center, the Critical Infrastructure Assurance Office, the Department of Energy and Commercial Networks, in addition to seeking private sector security data. According to the draft strategy, the initiative would involve the major ISPs, hardware and software vendors, IT security companies, law enforcement agencies, and computer emergency response teams. The proposed plan is included in a draft of the National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace, which was developed by the President's Critical Infrastructure Protection Board. The plan is expected to be publicly released on September the 18th. According to eWeek, the plan calls for the private sector to increase its collection of threat data and share it with the government. The plan would have the FBI, Secret Service, and Federal Trade Commission create a single system for cooperation to report internet fraud and extortion, illegal hacking, and unauthorized network intrusions. The administration wants the federal government to collect information from the private sector on cybercrime victims and network intrusions. To alleviate fears of privacy litigation, the administration is proposing to create exemptions from Freedom of Information Act requirements and exemptions from antitrust laws to reduce liabilities that might arise from private companies revealing information to federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. The draft also recommends restricting the use of wireless technologies by federal agencies and requires private companies to disclose their US security practices. The data would be used to build a test bed of security patches. The Bush administration would also seek to mandate certification programs for government IT workers. A new Forrester research report indicates that while the number of Europeans getting online is slowing down, there are now more regular internet choppers. According to new research from the company, the internet penetration rate in Europe increased from 43% in the fourth quarter of 2001 to 46% in the second quarter of 2002. The highest increase in regular users occurred in France, where a 19% growth was reported. However, while the number of new internet users is declining, the research indicates that the number of regular online shoppers in Europe increased by 22% from the fourth quarter of 2001 to the second quarter of 2002. The number of regular online shoppers now accounts for 17% of all Europeans, according to Forrester. One in four employees has a serious web habit, spending more than one entire workday each week surfing non-work-related websites while at their desks. But their employers don't seem to think there's a problem. Only 8% of companies report any knowledge of workplace cyber addiction, according to a survey from WebSense. News, e-commerce, and even porn sites are among the most popular online destinations. The survey revealed that 67% of workers access news sites for personal reasons and 37% access shopping and auction sites while in the office. In addition, 2% of employees admit accessing pornography and another 2% admit to gambling online at work. In Britain, thousands of tracks from Kylie Minogue to Coldplay are set to be made available to download over the internet. The UK music retailer HMV is expected to confirm this week that it's reached a deal with the digital music service On Demand Distribution, or OD2, to offer almost 100,000 tracks over the net. From September, fans will be able to listen to, download and burn a number of tracks for a monthly fee of £4.99. Under the arrangements, fans will have access to the largest official catalogue of digital music ever made available in the UK. Among the material will be the entire Elvis Presley catalogue of 990 tracks, as well as songs by Craig David, Westlife and Dido. The material will come from leading record labels such as EMI, Warner Music and BMG, as well as independent labels like Telstar and V2. A small group of PC buyers has filed a lawsuit seeking class action status against Intel Corporation, Gateway and Hewlett-Packard, charging that the firms misled consumers by claiming that the Pentium 4 microprocessor is the best performing computer chip on the market. Intel's flagship line of computer chips is less powerful and slower than the Pentium 3 and or the Advanced Micro Devices Athlon, the plaintiffs charged in a 49-page complaint filed in the 3rd Judicial Circuit Court in Madison County, Illinois. The lawsuit, which was originally filed on June the 3rd in Madison County, was moved to the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of Illinois on July the 31st. The case came to light in a recent issue of PC World magazine. Gateway and Hewlett-Packard both declined to comment, but Intel said the company plans to defend the case. "Our view on the case is that it's totally without merit. Clearly, we plan to defend ourselves," said Intel spokesman Chuck Malloy. "The thing is, the Pentium 4 is the highest performing PC microprocessor on the market, period," he said. The lawsuit names five consumers as plaintiffs, three in Illinois and two in Missouri, who have purchased either Pentium 4-based PC systems or the chip itself in order to build the computer at home. Since the first Pentium 4 chip was released in November 2000, more than 55 million have been sold, according to Shane Rowe, an analyst at IDC Research. The complaint asks that the lawsuit be certified as a class action and that, according to the Illinois Consumer Fraud and Defective Practices Act, actual damages, attorney's fees, and other costs should be less than $75,000 per class member. The days of one-price-fits-all for high-speed internet access are ending in the US, Number 3 broadband internet provider SBC Communications on Wednesday became the latest to say it would charge a range of prices for consumers, as it already does for big businesses. SBC currently charges all consumer broadband users $50 a month. Starting this autumn, the company will offer 6 rate plans. Prices haven't been set and no range was given. Rivals Covad Communications and AT&T Broadband also announced tiered service plans this summer. More choices will mean lower prices for more consumers, especially average internet users, analysts say, but heavy users, such as avid gamers and people who listen to a lot of streaming media or file sharing, will likely have to pay more. And over time, tiered pricing could make it easier for carriers to raise rates because multiple plans make smaller increases less noticeable. In most cases, the tiered plans offer unlimited web surfing at different speeds. The slower the speed, the lower the cost. For example, Covad's cheapest digital subscriber line service costs $40 a month after a $22 four-month trial period and is about 5 times faster than regular dial-up. Its most expensive DSL service costs $89 and is about 25 times faster than dial-up. Broadband services such as DSL are gaining favour because they're fast, don't tie up phone lines, and are always on. Carriers hope more choices will lure customers to the market. Fewer than 17% of US households have high-speed access. But carriers might end up undermining themselves, says Forrester research analyst Charles Golvin. Many small businesses, for example, often pay hundreds of dollars a month for special business class high-speed lines. Now, they could get similar service for less than $90 a month. Some residential customers might also end up paying less for a lesser service if given the choice, Govan says. That's one reason not every carrier has switched. For example, number one broadband provider Roadrunner, owned by Time Warner Cable, offers only one residential plan for $45 a month. Still, analysts say they will expect tiered pricing to become the norm, despite challenges. The Pentium 4 3 GHz chip is on the way, and as a result, Taiwanese motherboard makers are planning to create separate versions of their main products in order to support the new chips, according to a report on Wednesday in the Taiwanese industry journal DigiTimes. Besides putting inventory control pressure on the motherboard makers, the duplicate lines will add $2 in production costs for each board, according to the report. This could turn into higher wholesale motherboard prices and ultimately add to the cost of 3 GHz Pentium 4 systems. Taiwan is home to many of the biggest PC motherboard makers, and most companies have already finished their new designs, but some are continuing their development work in an attempt to bring prices down. The 3 GHz Pentium 4 will require a 70-watt power supply, making it incompatible with current 60-watt motherboards. This will mean changing a power control circuit called a pulse width modulation controller. On top of that, to make room for more components, board makers will have to rearrange the board circuit layout. Intel is expected to release a Pentium 4 running at 2.8 GHz on Monday and recently shifted up the schedule for the 3 GHz board in order to make it available for the Christmas shopping season. The current fastest Pentium 4 runs at 2.53 GHz and costs $637 in quantities of 1,000. Intel is currently using a manufacturing process that creates chip features 0.13 microns in size, but it's planning to shift to a 0.09 micron process next year. The 2.8 GHz parts will also begin the shift to using silicon wafers that are 300 millimeters in diameter, a larger size that allows Intel to cut manufacturing costs. The Bush administration is stepping up an internal debate on the rules of engagement for cyber warfare, as evidence mounts that foreign governments are surreptitiously exploring U.S. digital infrastructure. Richard A. Clark, head of the Office of Cyberspace Security, said the government has begun to regard nation-states rather than terrorist groups as the most dangerous threat to U.S. computer security after several suspicious break-ins involving federal networks. The White House last week called in Gregory J. Rattray, an Air Force officer and author of Strategic Warfare in Cyberspace, to accelerate the process of sorting out the legal and ethical issues surrounding such attacks. In one series of incidents in 1999 and 2000, unidentified hackers downloaded scores of sensitive but unclassified internal documents from the Los Alamos and Livermore National Laboratories for the Defense Department. Investigators traced the electronic trail back to an unnamed foreign country. Officially, the government there denied being involved, but the intrusion suddenly stopped. U.S. officials also believe it's possible a foreign government helped create the Code Red virus that took control of 314,000 servers last year and directed them to attack White House computers. For the past 9 months, Clark, who reports both to Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, has been preparing a plan that will involve the government, private companies, and average citizens in defending against future attacks. This national strategy will be outlined next month in Silicon Valley. Among the recommendations is that internet providers for cable and DSL companies package their faster always-on services with firewalls or security software that repels outside intruders and monitors what information is sent out to the internet. Clark said that people have been connecting to the internet through such services in recent years without being told their computers are open to intrusion. Federal agencies have increased their information technology spending to $4.5 billion in the fiscal year beginning October, up 64% from the previous year. Major software companies such as Microsoft Corporation and Oracle Corporation have made security a top priority, but companies in other sectors, especially telecommunications, have been slower to respond because of financial difficulties, Clark said. International airlines, airports, and major aerospace firms are flocking to sign up for a new master internet domain created to provide a haven for the civil aviation industry, the company managing it said on Tuesday. The domain, .aero, that's .aero, will be fully launched on September the 2nd and will provide an umbrella for the entire range of companies and groupings involved in flying, from the biggest players down to small airfield clubs. Over 50% of American internet households are interested in networking digital entertainment content among PCs, TVs, stereos, and DVD players, according to Parks Associates. Just over 60% of broadband households said they were interested in networking video content from PC to TV, compared to 54% of narrowband households. Around 57% of broadband households said they would like to network music content from PC to stereo, compared to 50% of narrowband households. Nearly 54% of households with a broadband connection said they were interested in networking music content from CD or MP3 player, compared to 46% of narrowband users. 59% of broadband households also said they were interested in networking video content from DVD to TV, compared with 50% of narrowband households. And that's News Briefs for this week.